Welcome to the Room for Recap, the heartbeat of the faith and family film industry. I'm Laura May, your host and industry insider from Christian Casting. I am thrilled to bring you the ultimate weekly experience that goes beyond the screen. This is not just a podcast. It's a movement, a community, and a celebration of the incredible stories shaping our faith-based film world. We are so excited you're here. Are you ready to jump in? Let's go. Hi, my name is Laura May, and I am the founder of Christian Casting and the Room 4 app. I am a wife, mom of nine, casting director, producer, actress, and writer from Southern Maryland.
Hello, my name is Xavier Garcia, writer-director based north of Boston, and excited to get into all things cinema and story.
Hi, I'm Drew Hunt. I'm a wife, a mom of four, an actor, a content creator, and I am so excited to be spending this time here with you.
Hey guys, I'm Keys, and I'm a mom to three amazing kids. I'm a writer, an actor, a radio host, and a Room 4 intern. I'm excited to be on this journey with you. I am all in.
So, what is the Room 4 recap? Here's what you'll find as you come along on this journey. We are your backstage pass to the latest in faith and family films with upcoming news, compelling interviews with industry leaders, exciting opportunities for exclusive giveaways, free festival passes to VIP access at industry events, and more. This isn't just news. It's an invitation to be a part of something extraordinary. We are not just observers here. We are participants in the Room 4 movement, and we want to invite you to join us.
All right. So today we are going to tackle the topic of AI. We've had some pre-discussion and it's been great, but we definitely want to hear from each of you about how you're feeling. I mean, it's kind of making people uneasy. Drew, you shared some stuff on socials. Keys, you shared some articles with us. So, wow. I mean, where do we even start?
Yeah. So it's been, that's where we start. We've had some great discussion offline about it. And where that came from, it was a story that Xavier found, and we actually shared it on the Room 4 Facebook page a few days ago. The story came out of South Korea. It's a media group that used this AI, you know, goggle generator to create a simulated interaction between this mother and her daughter that she lost to leukemia. And it's very interesting to kind of see how they put that together and from a technology standpoint, but then also the emotion that is coming out of that, the conversations that are happening around it have been very interesting, and it has run the gamut in terms of, is this an effective method of healing? Is it not? Is it just strictly entertainment? You know, so it's been very interesting.
So I can jump in a little bit just to talk about how they pulled it off from a technical perspective. What this company did is they hired an actor, a young child actor. I think it was actually a boy that they hired, about the same size as this mother's child. And they did volumetric captures. And so these volumetric captures are basically a multi-camera mesh that takes 2D images and turns it into a 3D representation of these cameras that are fit in like in a dome around the individual. And so it's like anywhere between 12 and like 30 some odd different high-end cameras, all capturing flat planes. And then that gets meshed together into a 3D representation. And what they did was with AI technology, the AI part of it was they took photographs and video and anything that they have as reference and of the deceased daughter in order to map that onto the face of the actor. And then they took samples of the audio of the daughter speaking in order to map that onto the lines that the actor was going to speak. And all of this then was caked and baked together in Unreal Engine. And so they were able to, with an actor and with some audio samples and visual samples, be able to recreate the daughter of the mom, and went through a scene that they had already pre-scripted in order to have these lines come up. And so the mom then put on VR goggles. I think they were maybe Oculus goggles, like the MetaQuest 3s. And in that, they were able to bring up the 3D world. And the daughter itself was not, it was kind of like motion capture. So they used motion capture suits in order to create a metahuman. For those of you that are out there that know, it wasn't like a true representation. It wasn't a true 3D capture of the actual person. So it was like kind of like traditional VFX where someone's drawn in, and the lines were scripted, and then the mom would engage and interact. And, you know, and you're right. The part that was really powerful is for those of us that don't know all the technology and the technical stuff that go into it, all we're seeing is a grieving mom responding mm-hmm. to the child that she lost. I don't know how much the company that did this kind of prepped her. I don't know how much they spoke and gave her kind of like the breakdown of what they were doing. I think that for publicity purposes, and to get a larger reaction and a larger response from even the viewing audience, it was maybe a cold turkey thing. And that's when you're starting to ask questions where, okay, are you, you know, where you draw these ethical lines, you know, where they just essentially used her for publicity. And she had a very visceral response because mm-hmm. only God knows how long it's been since she's seen, you know, her mm-hmm. daughter that she lost to leukemia. And so I just wanted to fill in a little bit on the technical side. We can talk a little bit about then the creative and then even the emotional.
Yeah. Because it definitely sparked the emotional piece. And that's just one small example of what we're seeing in AI, because the term AI is so broad, right? It's a pretty big umbrella. And I think when we first decided, you know, okay, we want to, you know, start having this conversation on the Room 4 Recap, you know, pretty early on, because the conversations are happening out in our industry and in every industry, right? Yeah. And I think what's happening kind of on the larger scale, there's a lot of fear that is coming out of these conversations. And, you know, the four of us talking collectively, you know, again, you know, opinions kind of run the gamut in terms of, you know, the impact that this will have and whatnot. But overall, we've been here before, right? Xavier, you've pointed that out.
Yeah. I mean, so it's tough, right? Because we just came out of the union strikes. The actors and the writers union were striking essentially over AI issues as well. And the fear has always been since the Industrial Revolution, that technology is going to replace us and mm-hmm. that technology is going to push us aside and we're going to lose jobs and lose our ability to pay, you know, pay our mortgages, feed our families, that kind of thing. And that has been since the Industrial Revolution, literally. It's in fact, even in 1692, when we were talking about the Salem witch trials and the story that I'm working on, there was a huge uproar between the merchants and the farming class, the merchants bringing a new technology and an advancement in how they do commerce and how they're using their ships to bring, you know, foods from all over the world, where here these people are having to grow it out of the ground, and that caused for the Salem witch trials. So so technology has always been a source of antagonism mm-hmm. to the common person, and so that's what we're seeing today. We're mm-hmm. seeing the scare of the unknown really antagonizing a lot of people about, well, how is this going to affect me in my everyday life? And especially creatives, because AI mm-hmm. has an ability to create, and it can't create from the nothing, right? That's the advantage that those of us in Christ, right? Like that we have access to the creator who has created from nothing. AI, all it does is it takes a bunch of stuff that you put into it and it can only create based on what you yourself put into it. And people are like, well, what about when it becomes self-aware? Well, even then it's based off of what you as the artist put into the AI machine.
Right.
And so, you know, we have this advantage where there's the human element that AI can never reproduce. You know, and so those of us that are storytellers that are creating with that human element, it's so much more important now to truly understand story. whether you're a filmmaker, whether, you know, you're a camera operator, or you're a director, or you're an actor, or wherever it is, it's no longer enough to just settle on the craft, because we're seeing AI can handle the craft. Mm-hmm. You now have to go into the human element and how to connect, not just with an audience, but how to connect on set with, you know, your fellow actor, or how to tell something that connects on a larger scale for those whom are there to receive, you know, just like something tangible, because that's what the audience wants. They want to feel the human element in story. They connect to the story, and they want to feel alive in what you are telling. They want to work out their own problems based off of the stories that you're telling. They escape through it, whether it's escapism or it's pure entertainment, or even if it's a deeper subject matter, where they are seeing themselves in the characters and they're working out their own problems. If you leave out the human element, it will always be dead. It won't have that spark of life in it.
Yep, absolutely. That's so good. And I think we are seeing that craving for the authentic storytelling, like you were just talking about. And it, you know, we still are, you know, the creators essentially. I think we're in, you know, kind of like the knee-jerk reaction phase of this, so to speak, where it still feels very new. We're trying to get our arms around it. And, you know, there's going to be a little shakeup in the beginning. That's natural. That happened when the internet came on board and the iPhone. And like Xavier, you said, you can trace it back to the beginning of time. Pretty much. But in the long run, will it make us more efficient? Will it make us, you know, allow us to create more quickly and, you know, saving time, saving money?
I'll add one quick thing, because you said something as far as authenticity is concerned. And here's a case, like this is happening as we speak, authentic storytelling. The audience is, notice how people are no longer, especially like the millennial generation, is no longer interested in IP stories, like the big Marvel movies or the DC movies, these big superhero movies, because they have now become somewhat of a cookie cutter, cut and paste AI put out type of product, and everybody's turning to some like these other stories that are, you know, not based on existing IP that has run for like however long. They want real stories, human stories. A great example of that, I don't know if anybody's seen this, but like Madam Web that just came out, it got trashed. It's just, you know, it's, I don't even know the backstory of Madam Web. I know it's like an offshoot of the whole Spider-Man thing, but the show, like, it got trash. It felt like you were watching an AI created content, and it was so bad that people were actually like, oh, this is good. That's how bad it was. People were enjoying laughing at it when that was not the intent at all of the filmmaker. And it's because it's become that, you know, without the human spirit, like without the soul, if you will.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's it. Keys, I think you were jumping in.
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, with the advancement of technology and AI, what usually happens as technology advances is ethics catches up later. And so that's like my whole issue is making sure that what we're doing is that we're looking at it from a godly perspective, and we're looking at it from an ethical human perspective, that we put the person above the art. And I know that's backwards, because in this industry, art is everything. Art is the main thing. You know, you think about what comedians say, nothing is off limits, that type of thing. And so usually the art, the created thing, is the main thing. And we know that we don't worship the created thing. And so I think that's why I kind of get into the, even with that video that we talked about, I don't have a problem with VR or with AI being used. So it's not like advancing technology that I have an issue with. It's the ethics. It's the, is this right? Is this okay? Like, how it's being used, is it okay? Right. And I think it reminds me of Genesis 11, you know, the Tower of Babel, that God recognized that, yeah, these humans are advancing. They're doing something. They're working together to do something, but their motives are not right. And so you can't just let your advancement, your working together, your striving for something new to go as far as you want it to go. There always have to be checks and boundaries around this technology, around the things that we create and that we do, because we can't take our creativity as far as it wants to go. It's always going to want more. And so we need to put boundaries on it, I think.
And no, I agree with you. The one area I will push back in is the fact that it isn't necessarily the artists, you know, that are, it's when money gets involved, because it's when business gets involved and money gets involved and the desire for the wealth and the power that comes from advancing something new gets involved, that these advancements in technology are essentially, you know, turned for evil, if you will.
Starts to get distorted.
It becomes distorted because this company is creating a product that's purely a for-profit product. Yet at the same exact time, you had a ton of artists in the United States represented by unions that were fighting against it. And so it's like, it's always the artist looking for the authenticity of the art. And the artist oftentimes recognizes the tools necessary and puts those above, one of the tools being actors, being, you know, the people, they are part of the process. But when the executives come in and when the business end of it comes in and those that are trying to make themselves rich off of it come in, that's when you start to see, okay, they're trying to amass power, they're trying to amass, you know, position, money, and that's when these things, then they're willing to break those ethical lines in order to, okay, how do we, you know, how do we meet the bottom line, bottom dollar for, you know, whatever firm or establishment or business that we're trying to raise.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of love...
Okay.
I was just going to say that scripture is proving itself so timeless in this discussion, because here it was written thousands of years ago, and yet we can see in real life the practicality of they worshiped the created thing rather than the creator. You know, that is obviously timeless. Their love of money is the root of all evil is timeless. Yep. And like Keys, you were saying about ethics. It's funny because I have no issue with the technology. Xavier, when we were doing motion capture, or not motion capture, but we were calling it, what was the other word that you used?
Volumetric.
Yes, volumetric capture. When we were doing that for good, it was thrilling. It was exciting. It was groundbreaking.
And in all fairness, volumetric capture isn't AI. It is very analog in its approach, okay. But people, and that's another thing too. I think there's a lot of lack of education. Will say VR and they think that VR is anything that lives on the helmet, and they'll call everything VR. It's like, oh, this is VR. Or they'll say, oh, this is AI. It's like, no, it's none of that. But your point still stands. It's like, because we are using AI so much in different elements of our lives and don't even know it. Like, you know, on our cell phone, Siri, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah.
Well, it's just interesting though, because I had no passionate spiritual objection to our volumetric capture on Set for Good. And that article about the mother just really rubbed me the wrong way. And as a mom who has experienced two miscarriages, I know the feeling of the wishing that we had a moment with our child, but I also know the crying out to the God who gave and took away. You know, as Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I found myself crying out to what I believed was the only one who could heal that wound and the only one who could fix that thing that was wrong. And so to me, I'll just go ahead and admit I'm waiting for the stones to be thrown by our audience maybe, but I can feel for the healing that mother is longing for, but I think we're crossing a very dangerous ethical line when we are seeking something other than God for that healing, because it's artificial. And that mom had that moment with her daughter, except she didn't. And her comfort, her healing is coming from deception. And she's walking into that knowing it's not her daughter. And it feels to me a very a very cheap version of the true healing that God could and would, I really believe would give. And that's, I'm saying that as a mother who has lost, I'm saying that as a person who has encountered some very difficult valleys emotionally where I've bared my soul to the Lord and said, only you can fix this. And I know from experience that he has. And I just think it's dangerous when he says, you know, have no other gods before me. It's to me, you know, forgive me, but I get very passionate about that. And it was interesting. No,
Laura, you're absolutely right.
Volumetric capture on one side. And I'm like, yes, this is great. And then you say volumetric capture for this young girl. I'm like, no, that's not right. None of it. And so it's this.
No, you're 100% brain. Like,
yeah,
but you're responding to the, like, I think everyone here and anyone that watches can agree that the company crossed an ethical line by taking a grieving mom and exploiting her grief for the sake of selling a product. Okay. That, I think, across the board, anyone will look at that and be like, ugh, you know, like that kind of now. However, they reap the benefits of that, like, I'm sure, whatever. The point is, for sure, how they approached the sale of their product was one that was like, they had on their mind sensationalism. Mm-hmm. If we can get someone whom is at their pit, at their worst, and we can connect them with this moment, and we can have a very visceral, very real, explosive and dynamic response, and the audience is going to go, what? And the fact that we're having this podcast talking about it shows they were right. They were right. Now, how that works out for them is still yet to be seen, but they got what they were looking for. Now, they did so crossing the line. And that's kind of like we will always wrestle with that question because, again, because film is also a business, right? Filmmaking is also a business. And so as artists that are also trying to make a living off of this, we will also have those same exact questions, you know, where we have like, here's a really great example. And I'm just thinking, for example, of, you know, like Kirk Cameron, I think it is. And also McDonough, who, when it comes to like, for example, kissing on a scene, right? And the script calls for you to have like an intimate moment with your co-star. And again, this is a moment where, because the script and the story has to be told a certain way in order for whatever algorithms you have of love story appealing to a specific quadrant and a specific, you know, audience, it's like, no, this scene has to happen. And yet the star, for whatever, you know, for their own personal reason, says, I can't. We as artists all will always have that moment to wrestle with. But the business side of it, oftentimes those that are, again, that just when they're serving their God, when it's money, it's like, none of that matters. We got to tell the story that the algorithm spit out that says will make the most appealing sense to our general audience. So we will even have, as artists, those of us anyway, that are trying to do film as, you know, as a business, the, you know, film business, we'll have those questions as well. They will come in different forms, in all sorts of different forms.
Well, I think you touched on something vital, and that's boundaries. And I think, you know, we know that actors have boundaries, filmmakers have boundaries, AI, we need to keep those boundaries. At the Christian Worldview Festival last week, there was a whole AI panel, and it's, you know, the discussion was, hey, it's here to stay. It's absolutely not anywhere. So how do we wrestle with it? And we actually, you know, one of the people in the audience posed the question, what are some good uses for AI? Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, here we go. You know, because a lot of times we, from a faith-based perspective, talk about the negatives of it. And one example was, hey, I needed to come up with a 500 item product list and SKU numbers. Like, I just had to make up, you know, for this factory scene in the movie. And he's like, I told AI to do it. And in seconds, it was done. You know, this all 500 different SKU numbers and product names. So that was a brilliant use of it. And then another one on the panel had said, hey, this is my boundary. If it replaces someone whose God-given calling was to help tell stories, if I am using AI to replace them, mm-hmm. then I crossed a boundary that is wrong. Mm-hmm. So I loved that. Another nugget that I picked up from that luncheon was the world will always now have AI. We have to remember we have the I am. And that, when you think about that, like, it gives me chills to think, no, we have the creator, the original creator. And they also, Xavier, they said the same thing you did. All AI can do is collect information that is already available. And so within these boundaries, are we simply making a task easier, or are we replacing someone whose God-given calling was to do this, and we are robbing them the opportunity of the networking of, you know, the very real life experience? And so there's so much to talk about, and we're already 20 minutes into this, and we only have 30. So I
want to highlight that last thing, because I think that's the key for the audience. And that's like the most important thing. You have to educate yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you got to know your own boundaries. And so you got to do the research. And whenever you're involved in a project, know, even if it's advertising that it's using AI, ask questions and know what you're getting involved in, do the homework, and then know where your boundaries are, because there are a lot of great uses of AI, a lot of really amazing uses. In fact, just the whole education sector in general, especially for like homeschooling parents and things like that, like, there's a company, you know, even out here in my neck of the woods, that's trying to generate a curriculum using AI in order to give students immersive experiences in moments in history. So we're working on recreating the Gettysburg Address and putting people there and actually standing in front of Abraham Lincoln and surrounded by soldiers and families in Gettysburg, and having them have a very real experience with that moment in history. So it's no longer just people that are trying to rewrite history and trying to re-educate children in the wrong way. But like, and again, you're also going to get those people that do that, but you're going to be able to get also the truth. And that's such a powerful way to get education. I mean, we're going to do it with the Salem witch trials. There's a lot of hearsay. There's a lot of erroneous information out there about what happened. And as a result, we have a lot of issues in our country, you know, even with dealing with, like, for example, the whole witchcraft dilemma, like how, you know, and so there was a lot of misinformation that continues to be misinformation today. And so our desire is like, let's put them in the actual moments of these trials so that they can see with their own eyes what happened politically during these really intense moments in our history. And in that, you can now make your own decision about now what's going on politically today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love, George Escobar was on the panel, and one of the questions asked was, you know, is AI going to replace anyone? And he gave a really challenging answer and said, you are going to decide, because mm-hmm. it's up to each one mm-hmm. of us. So mm-hmm. like, he said, look, I will use AI for storyboarding, but only for the concept. And then I will hand it to a storyboarder who is brilliant at what they do, who I want to support in their job. He said, so that is me using AI to simplify my own task, but then to hand it to that kingdom called person. And so really the buck stops with us. How are we going to replace each other or not? And that's how the faith-based industry will be protected from replacement, is if each of us decide, no, if it's cheaper, if it's faster, if it's easier, that's a boundary I won't cross, because I will not give away something meant for my brother or my sister. And so I would love, we only have 5 minutes left. I would love, Keys, why don't you give us some examples of maybe ethical ways that you would use AI? Or are you like, nope, I'm going to stay away from it altogether? Let's chat about some ways that we can practically use it, or maybe ways that we would never use it.
Well, no, I think it's great. I think what you mentioned, if you can use it to make things easier for you and more convenient, and it can speed up the process and help you to save money. I think that those are great ways to use it. And I think the way what not to do, the main thing for me is not to lean into fear, because I wrote a blog about that actually, is just not giving in to fear just because it's unknown. Like Xavier talked about, it's the unknown. But we don't have to stay ignorant just because we are. So if you can educate yourself, there is
information. We perish.
You can talk to people out there who are using it and connect with them and just go, okay, how did you even get involved with this? But I think you can keep each individual keeps their ethical boundary in place, you know, then it can spread. The good use of AI can spread. Because I know the enemy is the one who wants to take something and use it to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we can take AI and use it to bring life, you know? So just not lead into the fear.
It's no different than, like, for example, the whole, you know, gun question, right? Like, it always comes back to the individual, but it comes back to the individual. It's like, right. How are you going to use it? Like, you yourself, you know, and like Escobar's, you know, comment is spot on. It always comes back to us. Like, we tend to love to, like, put the blame outside. It's like, well, they're doing this and they're doing it. But it's like, it comes back to you. Mm-hmm. How will you be responsible with this tool? How will you be responsible with this advancement in technology? And that's how it always should be. And that's how it ought be, because that's, like, it's your own heart, right? From the abundance of the heart, we not only does the mouth speak, but we also do. And so it's like, what is in here? That's what's going to navigate and determine how AI, whether it's in your own film sets or it's in your own private practice or whatever it is, how that's used and how that's, you know, put out there. So
absolutely. That's so good. It's remembering that we have the choice, because that's a lot of times where the fear comes from, right? Is we feel like we don't have a choice. We're out of control. We don't have options. We know who is in control. And then, you know, we've been given that ability to make those choices. So
Good from talk, a creative guys. Standpoint, I thought it was also interesting that AI generated content is not copyrightable. So the more Hollywood leans into AI, the reality is those things cannot and will not ever be owned by those people creating them, because they are not. And conversation kept going back. I was on my phone. I was, like, taking all kinds of notes. Because, you know, it says copywriting is only attributable to human creativity. So legally, watch your footing is what they said. Because if you use it, it becomes public domain in the court of law. Yeah. And that was crazy. And, you know, people are coming up with concepts and story ideas, and they are using AI to generate that. But one thing that one of the Kendrick brothers said is, AI would have never put a little old lady in a prayer closet for war room. You know, AI would never do that. But the Lord could deposit that concept in the Kendrick brothers' hearts to create what has now become the phenomenon, you know, this movement called War Room. And so the human element and that divine connection to our creator, I think, is something that we never need to, that we always need to not take for granted, and, like, lean into that, because that is something this world and that the enemy can never take away from us ever.
Absolutely. Lean on that and let that lift us up and shine as an example. Not that, you know, it's, you know, makes us better or anything like that, but the Christian film space, let's shine, use it to let us shine a light in this industry instead of working from a place of fear.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. That was good.
And so do check out Key's blog, because it's amazing on just fear and what it does to us. And there's a reason, you guys, that I think it's 365 times I've heard that the Bible says, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. What for a new verse for every day of the year, because fear causes us to do things that a rational perspective would never lead us to do. And we've watched that since 2020. Yeah. I mean, let's be real. So that's, you know, and we know it doesn't come from the Lord. And I think you touch on that, Keys, you know, the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where is it coming from? So do check out that blog for sure. That is 30 minutes. So it's a wrap. Goodness, we might have to have a part two on this as things progress, you know, a little later on. But thank you guys for the discussion. And I hope that you all listening or watching enjoyed. And if you guys have thoughts, like, we'd love to hear them in the comments.
Yes,
so
please
tell us what you think.
Yeah, we'll be talking about this more on the socials too, so y'all weigh in. Yeah.
Let's post that video that we talked about in the notes.
Absolutely
riled up.
Seriously. But you know what, at the end of it, we need to know our own boundaries, and those are established by a very real relationship with an authentic creator and the convictions that he has given us. And I think if we all as faith-based creatives stay in that space, we will be the soldiers that help protect this this area. And that's exciting. That makes it a lot less scary and a lot more exciting. So
absolutely.
Great talk, you guys.
Awesome.
So until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.